This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's all about a dam in the Ukraine that is flooding a major region in the U.S. It's about what's up with that haze across the Midwest, the Northeast, even at one point hitting Denver. It's thanks to the Canadian wildfires. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, a little snapshot of what we're going to talk about here right from the get-go. Plus, coming up, those cool, fun facts, or as I like to call them, ubiquitous bits of information. Jeremy Paulson, our technical maestro for this show, will join me for those. It's a lot of fun. See what he dug up. I dug up some interesting things. I'm just going to give you a hint. Mine have to do with something that makes a sound, whoo, whoo, whoo. It's my favorite. I don't know if I really did that correctly. All right, Canada and the wildfires and the air quality alerts in the U.S. So Canada's dealing with like over 400 active wildfires. It's some of the worst that they've seen. It's spread from the western provinces all the way to Quebec. If you looked at a map, you'd know that it is making like a ring around the bottom of Canada. Wind has carried smoke from the fire southward, which is now triggering lots of air quality alerts throughout the United States. So it's not just right over the border. It's down the northeast. It's across to the Midwest. Even at one point a couple of weeks ago, because this has been going on for 4 weeks, it hit Denver, Colorado. So at least you think, well, we don't live near the border. We're not that close. If you look outside and you start to see some weird, hazy-looking pollution and there's no fires in your area, it could have been triggered from what's going on in Canada. And it depends on so many different factors as to what happens in the future with this. I mean, how long do these fires burn? What are the directions of the wind, that kind of thing. And we don't know for sure when it ends. But we've got gray skies and some terrible air quality in different regions. The Mid-Atlantic, the Northeast, Ohio Valley, the Midwest, milky white skies and ugly, dangerous air pollution to some of the most populous areas of our country. And what's tough is if you have problems breathing, COPD, any kind of respiratory problems, you're older, young kids, and what's the answer to this? It's not being outside as much. So for tens of millions of people, it can trigger things that you don't want to see happen. So you start to see conditions where it kind of looks like, are we on Mars? There's this weird reddish orange hue that is kind of out there in the sky. Somebody said it does look like we're on Mars. That's what made me think of that, especially in the morning where there's like the blood red sun. So anybody with breathing issues, what's really being said is you just don't want to be outside the most because that much, because it's the worst that we've seen in a couple of decades. And certainly, and I just checked the map again, when you look at Canada, when you look at the active fires, like I said, over 400 active fires. And get this, I mean, even if I were to be more specific, 240 of the active fires are listed as out of control. So they're not even close to getting them out. And you had this high-pressure air, which brought the sinking air and the warm, dry conditions that broke records that led to some of what, you know, some of what we're seeing. And it's just swirled all over the place. And again, some of the worst is, at least right now, this week so far, because it's changing, is the Northeast into the Carolinas, pretty thick around Lake Erie and Ontario, and, of course, near New York City, just absolutely horrible. It's easy to go and find out, by the way, air quality. I found this source. It's called airnow.gov. And if you look at airnow.gov, Gov, it will tell you some of the worst areas, because that's changing again with weather patterns. Some of it is, we've seen in Delaware and eastern Pennsylvania, and in Connecticut it's been bad, Massachusetts and Vermont it's been bad there, but they've been keeping these records. There's this air quality index coming out of Syracuse, New York, and there's a professor of meteorology at Hofstra University that said this is the worst since what they call reliable records started in 1999. It's the worst that they've seen, right? So people could say, oh, in New York, you know, there's so much congestion and the buildings pushing it in and all the vehicles. And so that would be what your assumption would be. But if you looked at it now, it's absolutely mostly coming from Canada, but that can switch, so that smoky, hazy shroud can switch depending on where the, again, where the winds go and that high pressure system goes. That will make the huge difference there. All right, I said in, you know, when you look at what's happening in the Ukraine, they had a dam in this, the Ukrainian troops, witnessing Russian soldiers swept away in a dam breach of floodwaters. And they're saying pretty much that everything is going to die. Everything is drowning from the amount of water that's now washed across because of the dam just being smashed and collapsing. And you can see it. It is really scary because some of these houses in these low-lying districts in an area that is in a Russian-occupied part of Ukraine, but there are Ukrainians that are living there. And you see what we've seen when we've had floods, where you can only see, like, barely the tops of houses, and people are being rescued. They're, like, 1,200 people that have been evacuated from this Karobel district because it's so difficult there because of all the downstream water that's starting to hit them in the waters that keep rising and penetrating quickly. The flow of water so visible. You know, I think of dams, and I saw a picture of this dam and where the collapse was, and man, I'm telling you, it was just a massive, massive wall of water, right? So Kyiv and Moscow are trading accusations over the destruction of this dam, but neither side is provided any kind of concrete proof that the other is responsible for it. So it's as murky as the crazy, insane, debris-filled waters that are flowing all across this region that's hitting, you know, way too many little towns and people that are frantically packing up and trying to get away as quickly as they can. I mean, this water is hazardous, and it's always about the debris, right? What's the debris that's in the water, and how much water is rolling through. So it's the same old thing when it comes to the war, because both sides are pointing fingers. All right, coming up, the promised, not UFOs, UBIs. We'll see what Jeremy Paulson has up his sleeve. And mine have to do with the mighty owl.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Bits of information. Jeremy Paulson joins us to talk about some of those. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello.
You know what? There's so many facts that float around us. I love it. I'm all about that. When somebody tells me, I'm a lifelong learner, someone will tell me something cool, and I, like, somewhere in my brain, I put it in the back of my brain. Music has a lot of that. Look, you ride motorcycles. There's a great history of motorcycles and racing and, you know, how the first electronic bikes even came to be, and it's on and on, the little factoids you can find everywhere. But what do your UBIs
do
have?
Do that next time.
Do the motorcycles. I'm very curious about motorcycles. I went by a motorcycle shop today. I thought of you because it's very big where I live, huge where I live. And some of them were pretty cheap, and I was thinking, why are these bikes are cheap? And then
Kate,
I'm looking at the
weekend, I should get one.
Yeah, right. And then I was looking down the road. I saw some that were, you know, whatever, $15,000. So they were all across the board, and some of them I really couldn't tell much of the difference, but I didn't look closely at them either. It was interesting. Yeah, you'll have to do that for the next one. So you don't have motorcycles this time. What do you have this time around?
No. I did a bunch of film stuff.
Nice.
Kind of. Since we're both, like, film people.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I just did some film ones. Okay. So you like E.T., like the movie E.T.?
I do.
Do you know how they made the sounds of E.T. walking?
I actually do not know that.
I guess they squished jelly with their hands.
You're kidding.
No. Squished
jelly. Oh, that's crazy to come up with that.
Walking.
Wow, to come up with that sound. That's interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Squishing jelly.
Yeah.
What was Buzz Lightyear's original name? His name wasn't supposed to be Buzz Lightyear.
I don't know. was his original name?
It was supposed to be Lunar Larry.
Buzz Lightyear is way better. Whoever brainstormed that puppy out, I hope they got a raise.
Change it to Buzz. Buzz Aldrin. No, Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear is brilliant. It's smart. It's good.
Better than Lunar Larry.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That's funny.
What's the most expensive movie to date?
Most expensive to be made?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd have to be something. Avatar.
No.
What?
It was actually Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Stranger Tides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it costed $378 million to make.
Wow, probably special effects and then all the shooting on location.
What's the average cost of a movie to make?
Average cost of a movie, I'm going to say $20
million. $65
million. $65, unless it's a really independent film, but then that's they got to pull in favors. $65 million.
Average.
That's crazy, though, to try to make up that box office when people aren't really going to the movies that much.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
Imagine trying to make up $378 million.
And of course, I'm sure it did. Those movies had big haul.
Pirates.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. It probably made it up.
I don't know. That's a lot. But
that's
yeah,
a
that's
lot.
Supposedly the most expensive movie to date to make.
Wow. I wonder how much. I mean, Avatar must have been under that. I'm surprised. I thought Avatar was outrageous how much it cost with all those special effects and everything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And last one, not least, what was the original name on the Hollywood sign? The Hollywood sign wasn't just Hollywood.
Okay, it wasn't Hollywood. Beverly Hills.
No, it was Hollywoodland.
Hollywoodland. Oh,
in 1949, they got rid of the land, but the Hollywood sign was Hollywoodland.
Oh, yeah, no. Hollywood was smart. That's so much better. It's clever, it's short, and that sign is iconic.
Yeah, well, in 1949, yeah, they took down the land part.
Hollywood. When you go to L.A., L.A. is so, it's so hard to get around L.A. It's just one big sprawl. But what is kind of cool is when you're on a certain highway, I can't even remember which one. I don't think it might be the 101, but I don't think it is. It could be from a distance, and you can see the Hollywood sign, and it's even when it's kind of hazy there because they have so much pollution, which their pollution has nothing to do usually with Canada. You can see that sign, and it is so cool to see that. It is. It's just iconic. You just know it.
Don't you think it would be iconic with 4 extra letters?
No. I mean, I guess so, but I like the shortening. It was smart. It just is. More, and you know what? It's probably easier because those letters, there's always problems with them. They have to go up and they have to fix them. The wind, the things happen. So, yeah, that could be part of it. Like, why do we need this extra? You know what it's like? It's like, I can't think of the thing now. There's a spelling. There's a way to shorten. It's some kind of tool that comes up and you can use it for free. Because, you know, we live in the land of you do anything on the internet and something pops up. That there's an app for that, and it shortens your run-on sentences, and you see all the extra words, and that would be Hollywoodland, that you put into sentences. Like, why do I need these extra words? I can make shorter sentences.
I wonder if they pay a guy to keep them nice and white.
I bet you they do.
A job.
Somebody's job has to be watching that. Right. I'm going to find that out. I'm going to call someone to find out. Who's in charge of the Hollywood? I'm going to say we want to be in charge of the Hollywood sign. How much will you pay? How much will you pay us?
For watching it. Yeah.
What if they would pay us to go out? You and I can fly out there and we could just see what do the job. You know, do a podcast for
the new cleaning people.
We're the new cleaning people. We promise we won't charge you that much. But I'm just going to supervise, and you're going to have to climb up on the letters, okay? And I'll make sure you're all right.
No, I'm afraid of heights. We'll switch.
No, I'm afraid of heights. Well, I'm not afraid, but I'm afraid that I'd get dizzy and I'd fall back. I don't know. I'd have to have ropes on. One time I did a radio remote where, and stupidly, of course, I said, yes, I'll do it. It was a Taco Bell promotion. And, my general manager was not happy. He wasn't mad at me, but he's mad at the salesperson because we didn't tell him.
That reminds me of the job that I was thinking about applying for. The racetrack up here was hiring a camera operator. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool, running the camera for the racetrack. And then they said you had to climb up a 40-foot ladder to the camera. And I was like, no.
Oh, no, and you would, and it would be a ladder that you're exposed, I guarantee it. Because that's what it was like when I had to climb up that billboard, the Taco Bell billboard. I mean, they had a harness thing on me, but it was a tiny ladder that I had to go up way into the air.
I can imagine this tiny ladder up this little tower
to
this little camera, 40 feet in the air, and you could just feel it swaying because of the wind. I was like, no.
Oh, no. No, you should just, at least for now, sit in the radio studio.
I'd love to do a camera operator job for the racetrack, but I'm not going 40 feet up a ladder.
Oh, no. Especially, can you imagine it's windy, the elements, forget it. The haze from Canada. I can't see. Come, somebody get me. Please help me. All right, speaking of being in high places, hoo-hoo, I love owls. You say that I've talked about the owls before, and I think I did, but I mentioned it with other species. So I'm just focusing on the owls, but because you think I did owls before, I'm going to also throw in the falcons. But I love owls. You know, their lifespan, what do you think their lifespan is?
27.
Pretty good, 25. Yeah, 25 is their lifespan. How many different species of owls do you think there are?
39.
No, 15. There's 15 according to the National Wildlife Council. I mean, could there be some that we don't know about? There's 15 different types of owls. There's the horned owls, the barn owls, the true owl, the snowy owl. A lot of people have heard of that. The great gray owl, the burrowing owl, the speckled owl. I love the barn owls, and the horned owls are really cool. I hear owls, and I just want to see them. The burrowed baby owls, and I look all over the place, and it's so hard to find them. I've seen baby owls before, though, and it's the coolest thing to see them when they're little. Do you think they're nearsighted or farsighted or neither of those?
Probably far.
Yep. Yep. Stick with your original, your gut. They're farsighted, and they can't see anything clearly within a few centimeters of their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I feel like most birds are farsighted.
I bet you most are. I don't know that to be a fact, but I'm going to say probably. You know, most birds make a lot of noise, and I did the hoo-hoo, but do you think they're pretty noisy creatures?
No, probably not.
They aren't. No. They make virtually no noise when they fly. Yeah. They don't, because it's the way that they flop around. Definitely. I said I was going to throw in the falcons. So the falcons' fastest recorded dive is how much? How many miles per hour?
60.
Ah, 60, way off. 240 miles per hour. Do you believe it? Crazy.
No, I believe it.
Yeah. All right, Joe Smoke. Fabulous author. Boy, she has a trauma to tell us about. She's going to make you feel better, though, next.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has filed paperwork for his presidential run. He is anticipated to officially launch his campaign at a town hall event in New Hampshire tonight. President Biden had his first cabinet meeting since he announced he's running for re-election. He told reporters they'd be talking about putting the laws they've passed into action.
Invest in America is more than just a slogan. We're investing in the American people, in our infrastructure, our manufacturing. We're investing in jobs in almost every community across the country.
They also discussed topics like border security, the climate crisis, and Russia's conflict with Ukraine. 9/11 Families United has expressed strong disapproval regarding the merger between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, which is supported by Saudi interests. The organization's chair, Terry Strada, has criticized PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan, accusing him of exploiting the 9/11 community in the past when he spoke against LIV Golf. John Schaefer, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be speaking with recovery writer. Her book, Letters from a Trauma Survivor, I think is so vital for so many people that in this audience, so many people have reached out to me. I've seen it all over the place, keeping secrets inside and what it does to people and how they're victimized by this. And this book, I think, is so significant and has in a way, answers to, I believe, what a lot of people are struggling with. So, Recovery, welcome to Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And what was it that made you write this book? What was the motivation?
Hey, Kate. Yes. Thank you for having me. The motivation was really to search for healing for myself and to be a voice for those who may not have a voice in the midst of trauma.
Yeah, and so for you, how hard was it to find that voice? I mean, what were the things that you were carrying around that were just weighing you down?
A lifelong history of trauma. It took many years of therapy and a lot of studies on boundaries and things to be able to have the courage to even articulate some of the trauma I've lived through, like sexual abuse, physical abuse. I've had someone try to murder me. Just some like gaslighting from family members and things. It's an overwhelming amount of trauma and trauma styles that I've lived through. And I used artwork to illustrate through like a tornado, which is also in my book, about kind of drawing it out through a tornado is a lot of the traumas that I've been through, just to help express and get it out.
Wow. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, even just one of the things that you mentioned happening to somebody is traumatic, but to have all of that, from even the gaslighting, the sexual abuse, and all the other things that happen, as you said, therapy. How did you know when you started to feel like you were coming out maybe on the other side?
It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But it takes time, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the amount of time it takes, but, I just kept with it. And I have and feel more freedom from it. I just have been able to let go of some of it. I, you know, some of it still kind of lingers around a little bit, but, I have so much more freedom from it, and I'm very thankful for that. But it takes a lot of different things and avenues, like such as like not just therapy, but proper nutrition, good sleep hygiene, good boundaries. You know, I have dogs that are a great support to me. So like a huge variety of just things that I do to try to apply to help with my recovery, and what I've lived through.
And what would you tell somebody that's listening right now that's struggling with this? I would say, one, get your book, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, because then you know what it's like and what somebody else has gone through. But the nutrition, wow, that's so huge, right? And the sleep, because you're troubled and you can't sleep. And the boundaries. And boundaries are probably hard to set when you've been traumatized. Am I correct?
They are. They're hard. I mean, I never learned boundaries growing up. I had to learn boundaries in adulthood. And just like learning what they are and like kind of the definition of it and how to apply them and then try to apply them in life. It is challenging, but very worth the studying and the applying them, just not only to other people, but also just for myself, you know, not, you know, having boundaries with myself, I've, you know, struggled with emotional eating, and trying to comfort myself with food. And so I've had to learn not to do that, because it just negatively impacts me too much. So, where at one point in my life I was 100 pounds overweight, and I've had to like work hard to lose that weight. I got other physical health problems because of that. So I had to learn how to set boundaries with myself too, and not spend money that's not within my budget. But also I had to cut, toxic people out of my life, and have appropriate boundaries with them, and know that the word no is okay to use. Even it's a complete sentence by itself. You don't have to explain it. You know, I can say no to even good things, because sometimes there's a lot of good things that we can't do everything. So it's okay to say no.
So it's interesting too, and I know this would resonate with people listening, and again, the book is Letters from a Trauma Survivor. We're speaking with Recovery Writer, and you talk about the boundary, you talk about the no, you talk about toxic people, and who among us doesn't have toxic people around them, and what does that do to you? It just keeps pulling at you, doesn't it?
It does. It really... before I cut some of the toxic people out of my life, which includes people in my family, I kept just drowning in hurt and could never like get beyond things. And I finally learned that even though it felt like I wasn't loving them, I still could love them, but then not have them in my life. Like, it really was heartbreaking, to come to that, but it was, there's so much more freedom now, where they chose not to make any changes for the better and for good health, in relationship wise anyway. And until they make those choices, like, they're going to stay out of my life if they ever make the choices. You know, they have, I had to like even not tell them where I live or, have my phone number. Like, I basically left it at they could have my email address, which a few family members had to get blocked because they broke the boundaries. But I gave them the choices and the options, you know, and chances, but there's a point where I had to just cut ties because it was so unhealthy for me.
Yeah, and it's interesting. When people look at your book and they read your book, we're not going to tell them everything, but what will they learn? What will they find out about as they progress through the book?
There, even though there's a lot of trauma and a lot of hard things that I've said just about that's happened to me, there is hope. There are, like, some very positive people that have done some great things in my life, and I'm very thankful for that. So they're, you know, it's hard. I hope it's relatable to people, and I really hope for everyone's sake that y'all haven't had to live through what I have. And if you have, there is hope. Don't give up hope. I've been there where I felt completely hopeless. But there is hope. So there, through a lot of different avenues. So don't give up hope.
Wow, I like that hashtag, don't give up hope. I love that you mentioned the dogs too, because dogs are therapeutic, aren't they?
They are, for sure. And I have an English lab. Her name's Daisy, and she is in the book. She is going to boarding school in August to be trained as a service dog for me. So I'm just thankful for that opportunity, and that is a huge support for people with PTSD to have service dogs. So I'm very blessed.
Yeah, so that's one way that you continue to take care of yourself, and you talked about the nutrition and how important that was, and you also mentioned therapy. Was it tough to make that leap to go to therapy, and then what was that like, because you have to unpack everything?
It is hard. It is hard to talk to therapists, and it's hard to even just articulate sometimes some of the things that I've lived through. But it is worth it, especially if you find a great therapist that you have good rapport with. Sometimes it takes more than one try, and that's okay. You may not always make that connection on the first try. But you can, there's so many different types and styles of therapists out there that are very, well equipped and trained. So don't give up. Even if the first one doesn't work out, there's other options, out there. And once you find that good therapist that really is, very good at their job, you know, very good at listening, very good at helping you dig through some of the trauma and stuff, and very good at helping just teach, you know, about boundaries or regulating emotions or what even emotions are, things that I had to learn, like, in adulthood. It's really worth it. It's hard. Sometimes, like, I had to get a little bit worse to get better, basically, because I have to feel those emotions. I had to feel and talk about the hard stuff, and it kind of makes me a little bit, it made me a little bit worse, but in the end it made me better. So, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it's a hard process, but worth it. Yeah, worse to get better. Okay, Letters from a Trauma Survivor Recovery Writer. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, as we keep mentioning. And before we go, tell us your website.
Yes, my real name is Joe Smoke, so my website is joesmoak.com. And you can find Letters from a Trauma Survivor. It links you to Amazon directly, and I have another book called Boundaries by Millie. It's a children's book that teaches children about boundaries through the life of a donkey, that's recently come out also. So I was inspired to write that book just because I never got to learn boundaries as a kid, and I hope it helps other kids too. So I have that on there too.
Excellent. Joe, thank you so much for coming on again. We appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey
guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
But when I was a kid, I had kind of this thing about what was coming at me, like what was under the bed. So I love the title of this book. We had a great off-air conversation, and she joins us on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. The name of the book is Under the Bed, Fred, Every Child's Nighttime Superhero. Michelle Toole, thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
You and I talked off the air, and we really did. We had such a lively conversation about this. What was it that led you to write this book?
Well, you know, like I told you, I was a nanny for one of the coolest little kids ever. And he would come home from preschool, and he was supposed to take a nap. And his name is Jack. And he said to me, because we miss Mimi, because Mimi's my nickname, and he'd say, Miss Mimi, I'm scared. Would you lay down with me? And I'm like, well, yeah, Jack. I said, what are you afraid of? He said, the monster's under the bed and in my closet. And I said, buddy, I said, it's cool. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll stay with you. I said, but you really don't need me. I said, because under your bed, you have a superhero, and his name is Fred. And I said, when you go to sleep, he comes out, and he does his job, and he chases off the monsters and the bad guys. Of course, being 3 years old, he looked under the bed, and I told him, you can't see him. He's in an apartment under your bed. He only comes out when you're asleep. And as soon as you wake up, he's off duty, and he goes back to watching his TV or whatever he does, and he lives under your bed. Of course, being 3 years old, he bought that, so it all worked out pretty well.
And then what made you decide, hey, this would be just a great children's book?
Well, you know, I started talking to people, you know, because being a nanny and also having being around little kids and stuff all the time, it's pretty common. You know, they're afraid of stuff in the closet. They're afraid of stuff under the bed. I was too. I mean, I would lay there really, really still because I was sure that if I moved, it was going to come out and get me. So, you know, that was part of it. But every little kid has this fear. And I just thought, you know, all of us feel like we want to be watched over. And the best way to do that is to give them a superhero who can combat whatever happens. You know, and like I said, little kids are great because, I mean, especially really little kids because you can tell them anything. And especially if they love you and trust you, they believe you. So,
absolutely.
And after that, we didn't need our kid. Well, they called his pacifier a boppy. And I'm like, he's 3 years old. He doesn't need a boppy. So we lost the fear of monsters under the bed, and we lost the boppy all at the same time. So it all worked out for all of us.
Yeah, boy, that family must have loved you.
Yeah. Actually, when he went to school full time is when I had to leave them. And it's really funny because his dad said, we're going to have to find another nanny. And I said, it won't be too hard. And he goes, yes, it is, Mimi. He said, you're really, really good. I don't know if we're going to find another one like you. And I said, well, thank you very much, but I got to work full time.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Wow. How neat. So tell us about Fred. Tell us about the character. Because for somebody listening to this and they think, wow, this is an intriguing book. I can get this. I can give this at a baby shower. I can get this for my own kids. I can get this for grandkids or other kids that I know. Tell us about the character.
Well, you know, again, Fred is a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
He has a friend he hangs out with. She hasn't quite fully gotten her act together. Her name's Clarissa, and she lives in the closet. And they hang out together. But, yeah, Fred, he lights up, and he comes out from underneath of the bed and from his apartment, and he can sit and he can hang anywhere. He can sit on your curtain rod. He can sit on the headboard. He can lay in the bed with you. And he lights up, and he talks, and he tells everybody, don't worry about this. I got this. You know, whatever's going to come after you, I'm Fred the superhero, and they're not going to mess with me because they all know who I am.
Yeah, when you write a children's book, a lot, obviously the story is huge, but also the illustration. That's why I asked you about the character, and you really fleshed that out for us. So in trying to put that in a book and coming up with a cover, what was that process like?
Well, it really wasn't very difficult. I mean, two little boys that I was a nanny for 5.5 years, they were really into superheroes. You can pretty much ask me anything about the Avengers and the Marvels because, sadly, I know. So I've been exposed a lot to this whole superhero thing. You know, and kids will actually, I actually sit and color and draw with my kids, and I'd say, what is that? And they say, oh, that's the monster that lives under my bed. And I would say, well, you know what? I got a guy, and you got a guy, and I said, he lives under your bed. And so the kids would basically tell me or show me or draw for me what was haunting them. You know, so it kind of rolls around in your brain, and you start doodling, and you start thinking about stuff. And it's like, okay, what would really be scary if I was 2 or 3 or 4 years old? You know, and that's where that came from. Of course, Mom and Dad can't be there all the time. As you read the book, you know, Dad is here. But in the meantime, like I said, every little kid's like, oh, well, you can't leave me. So, like I said, the monsters and stuff are kind of, they're kind of developed from other little kids that I've nannied and mentored because, like I said, we sit, we color, we draw, we talk. You know, I love children because they have no filters. And they'll tell you exactly what they think, and they'll tell you exactly what they're afraid of. And sometimes you can say, well, can you draw me a picture of what your monster is? And they say, oh, well, this is how it looks. So I can't say it was completely me because I did get some help from the little people in my life.
I like that. Draw, color, and talk. That sounds really fun to do. I think some adults could use that. So you've said this, Michelle, in our conversation, but what do you, as now a children's author and having it out there in the world, what do you hope the takeaway is for this book, for anybody that gets it?
Well, you know, I hope that they can embrace the whole idea to show their kids that there's really nothing to be afraid of. And I really feel like the book, when, you know, children are very visual, you know, and if you sit down with them and they can actually see that they can visualize this actual being under their bed, I believe that, you know, they're just going to be, oh, okay, it's cool. And like I said, kids will believe anything. And by showing them, this is Fred, and he is real. you know, they tend to, I've given the book to a couple of different people. I talked to one of my friends yesterday that's got four kids. All of them have issues. They're adopted. And she said, Mimi, she said, your book is amazing. She said, my little guy who would just not go to bed, she said, I sit and I read that book every single night to him and show him the pictures. And she just tells him, see, your Aunt Mimi's taking care of it. Look, she knows Fred, and Fred is here, and you can go to sleep. And that's basically what I want to tell the parents is, you know, they're being able to read something, see something, you know, if they're like, oh, okay, then this is real. Because when you just tell kids something, they're like, okay, but just like anybody else, if you can actually show them, and like I said, little kids are really very accepting. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, I buy this. Yes, there's Fred, and I know that I'm okay. And as I told you when we talked initially, I eventually want to get to the point where I can actually produce a doll so that the kids can have something to play with and hold on to. My vision is that he's a nightlight, a plush nightlight, and so they can play with him, they can hold him, and if they're afraid of the dark, they can just flip that switch and turn that LED hair on to hot pink and hot red, and they know that he's on duty and that he's watching over them.
Ooh, I love that idea, especially being able to switch hair colors, etc. That would be really, really neat. The name of the book, again, is Under the Bed, Fred, Every Child's Nighttime Superhero. We're speaking with Michelle Toole. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Did this also whet your appetite for doing more books?
Yeah, actually, it does, Kate. They've actually asked me, you know, what else do you have in the pipeline? And I said, well, I got Clarissa, the closet keeper. And I said, she's more for the little girls. She's, you know, little girls love pink and purple, and they love hair bows and necklaces. So what's next in the whole series here, which is kind of what I'm moving ahead with or trying to move ahead with, is that, okay, now here's a character that hangs out with Fred, but little girls can relate because, again, instead of a cape, she's got on a pearl necklace with a big C on it. She's got the ballet slipper. She's got, you know, the bows in her hair, and she lives in a very sweet, very feminine apartment in each kid's closet. And I think that's what the little girls are going to be drawn to, that I think more so even than Fred. I mean, Fred is great, but again, just having been around so many children for so long, they're going to gravitate towards Clarissa. And that's basically the next one that we're working on next. It's kind of in the pipeline.
Yeah.
I just didn't finish it because I had to get Fred. I had to get Fred up and moving.
That's right. And so Fred's moving, so she's next. I love it. And I like the whole idea, and especially, you know, because as having been a nanny, you can really relate to these kids, like you said, telling them to, let's see it, draw it, color it, and taking that fear away. And that's a big fear for a lot of kids, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I was afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I'm sure there was something under my bed, and I was sure that if I covered up my head and I just lay really, really still and breathe very shallowly, that it wouldn't know I was in bed and it wouldn't come out, you know? So, I mean, I think every little kid has that genuine fear, especially a lot of kids have a fear of the dark.
Yeah.
You know, and Fred basically will illuminate that darkness for them as well, you know?
Yep, so. I can relate. Perfect place to end this. Michelle, thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it, Kate.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.